We're redeeming the arts. Did you see that? The dancing and the artwork, and we're redeeming it. Yep. Giving God glory with our gifts. I love it. How exciting. Thank you all for coming and joining with us today for our kids' production. I want you all to stand with me, if you will, please. We're going to read scriptures for today. I hope you'll do this at home. I know many of you have this tradition, but on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, whenever you guys gather as your families, read the story. Take your time. Read the story. I know the kids are excited. They got to get to the gifts and all, but just take your time and do Luke chapter 2. It's a wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. And last week, we went over the first seven verses. Today, we pick it up at verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I bring you really, really, really good news. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Father, thank you for the marvelous Christmas story that we pray. I just pray in all of our hearts it'll never grow old. It'll be real and vibrant and alive, and we'll approach it from childlikeness, and we'll never, ever stop being in awe of the fact that God became one of us. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, illuminate, Holy Spirit, these scriptures to our hearts and just show us something new today, something deep, something that we can grab hold of and take home with us and share with our families. We love you so much, Lord. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So the shepherds were out in the fields surrounding the tiny little village, and normally nothing really new ever happened in that small town. Nothing had changed for like 1,000 years since David was a young boy out in those exact same fields, minding his father's flock of sheep. To pass the time, young David would practice his slingshot shooting. I'm sure he was out there in those same fields, aiming at the rocks and the trees until he really became a very accurate marksman. But from that time, like 1,000 years before, when David was there, until this night, there was nothing really all that exciting taking place. I mean, very predictable. Same thing over and over and over. The most excitement was probably when a predator would come, when a lion or a bear or something like that. But otherwise, just same thing every night. And now, something stirring in this little town called Bethlehem. And because of the decree of Caesar Augustus to conduct a census and to tax the people, this little Bethlehem is now just bustling. It's just filled with people. And it didn't take too many people to fill up this little village, but they were staying in extra rooms and in stables and even in caves. And the shepherds were unaware that there was this one couple, Joseph and Mary, staying in one of their caves, one of the shepherds' caves, and by the time they got there, Mary's like 9 months pregnant, she's about ready to burst, and they had arrived from Nazareth, but they were in Bethlehem because both Joseph and Mary were descendants of the great shepherd king, King David, this same boy that used to practice with his slingshot right in these very fields. And these shepherds had no idea of the great event that had taken place on this night. So while they were out in their fields watching their flocks, Mary had given birth to a baby boy, and not just any baby boy, but she gave birth to our Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one who would eventually sit on the throne of David. And Mary gave birth after the birth of this precious baby in that shepherd's cave at the edge of town. She wrapped him up tightly in cloth, laid him in a manger, which, as you all know, is a feeding trough for animals, for the sheep. And they were in this cave. Now, it would be awesome if you could go to Bethlehem today and picture that. You really can't. Bethlehem is just not the place nowadays to really get an idea of what that night was like, but had to be just an amazing sight if you could go there in your mind and see the little baby wrapped up tightly and laying on the straw in the feeding trough and recognizing the fact that this is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one born to be king of the Jewish people. He was going to save the entire world. He was the one who's both God and man, who will rule for all eternity with God the Father, his true Father, on his throne in heaven. Of course, we all can see that the secret Joseph and Mary had kept from everyone else is that Joseph is not the father of Jesus. Mary had conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit coming over her, and she and Joseph had remained apart. And Jesus was truly born of a virgin, and that is so that he could be conceived and live and die without sin. And here in this tiny, out-of-the-way cave is Jesus, the King of the universe, in an animal's feeding trough. But for Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to come into the world, he did it so that he could save men and women from their sins. And so in order for all of that to happen, there had to be some kind of fanfare somewhere. The birth of Christ couldn't just happen quietly without someone noticing, and this is where the shepherds come in. That particular night, as most nights, the shepherds had all gathered together with all of their flocks, and they would, in the late evening, all come together so that they could take turns watching over the sheep, just in case one of those predatory animals might try to get a nice meal of lamb for the night. But this night was going to be different from all of those 365,000 nights that had all been the same since David was watching his sheep in this same field. And one thing that I think is important to realize is that Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem. It's about 6 miles away. And those sheep were the very Passover sheep that would be sacrificed in Jerusalem, in the temple. And they would go in there for that. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's just really something to see. When a sheep is ready to be sacrificed, it just stands there and takes it and doesn't bleat or baa or do anything. It just takes it, just like Jesus did. You know, there's so many things intricately woven together in the scriptures, and out of this same field comes the Lamb of God. It's just absolutely amazing. But suddenly the darkness and the quiet are broken as Gabriel, the angel, appears, clothed in a heavenly soldier's robe, an awe-inspiring sight. And all at once the talking and the laughing between the shepherds ceased, and these men who feared nothing were now overcome with, the Bible puts it like this, like an intense panic, like an extreme, intense, enormous fear. Of lions, they were not afraid. Bears were nothing to these guys. But this glorious angel, this heavenly being, stood out so dramatically and powerfully that they were absolutely overcome with terror. And they could not speak. They were at the angel's mercy. He was so much more powerful than they were. And they could feel the angel's holiness radiating out from him. In this angel's presence, these men, these shepherds, felt their sinfulness and their lack of holiness that one certainly wished that they had in the presence of an angel. If you're ever in the presence of an angel, you're going to want to just join in with all of that goodness, all of that holiness, but I'm sure all of us will be reminded of our sinfulness. In the presence of a holy angel, especially, think about being in the presence of a holy God. After what seemed to the shepherds as hours, but was actually just a few seconds, the angel speaks with this booming voice and he says, "Stop being afraid." And I'm sure that those shepherds thought, you know, that's really easy for you to say. But you're terrifying us. You're scaring us. And Gabriel continues and he says, "I bring you really, really, really good news of great joy." Gabriel was announcing to the shepherds not anything that they should be afraid of, but rather the greatest news of all, that once they hear it, all of their fear will fade away and they will feel incredible joy and amazement of the great baby who has been born. Now, Gabriel tells the shepherds about the wonderful baby born in the little village. He says, "A Savior was born for you today, who is Messiah, the Lord, in the city of David." And here's the great news, friends. Here's the really, really, really good news of the gospel. The Messiah, the Christ, the one who is anointed of God, the one who is dedicated from God, the one who is empowered by God to be the Savior of the world and the Savior of these shepherds, has just been born. Gabriel went on to tell the shepherds about the sign of who this Savior will be. He said, "You'll find the newborn baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger." And he said, as he said that, the entire field and the heavens exploded in the light of the glory of the entire angelic host, singing and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and God's favor upon men." I like the way that's written in the original language, that the people who have the greatest peace are the ones that know they're in the will of God. Amen. The one upon whom God's favor rests. The one who are seeking the face of God. And that's us. And we are the people, we should have the greatest peace in the midst of turmoil. We are the people of peace, peace that passes all understanding. What a God we serve. I love thinking about that night. I love the picture I showed last week about that out of that movie, The Nativity, where the star was shining right down into the cave. And I don't know how many of you saw the little star. You know, it's itchy to be a star. Did you see that? So he had the thing on his head. When he put his arms up, it would come up over and he'd disappear. It was awesome. I laughed so hard, I got an ache in my side, sitting over here watching our little star. And then when he got over here, he pulls it off of his head and then pulls it back up. It's itchy to be a star. Don't ever forget that. That might be the only thing some of you remember from the sermon. It's an itchy thing to be a star. But the angels, just as quickly as they appeared, now they vanish. I think as they went away, the shepherds perhaps, even though they couldn't see them, could still hear them singing and praising God. And so now these shepherds, the fear turns into awe, and it turns into an overwhelming joy in their hearts. And now they're filled with praise, and they're looking at each other, and they're going, man, come on, let's go to Bethlehem, and let's see this that has been proclaimed to us. So sure enough, they come, and they find Joseph and Mary and Jesus lying in the manger, and they told everyone everything that had happened to them out in the shepherd's field. And Mary is treasuring all of this up in her heart, all the amazing statements, all of the miraculous interventions that came because of her baby son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. One thing that I think is important to continually point out is that Jesus wasn't born into privilege, riches, and fame. He wasn't born in Jerusalem where Solomon and all the kings after David were born, but he was born back in the birthplace of David, in poverty and in a humble setting. If those kings hadn't brought gold, Joseph and Mary would have never made it down to Egypt and back. But God has a way, as he does for all of us, that he will provide. There will be a ram in the thicket just at the time you need it. Trust him. Trust him. He's in control of your life. He will lead you. He will guide you. Trust him in all things. Well, Jesus, amazingly, although he's the Messiah King, he didn't come so that men and women could wait on him and serve him. No, he came so that he could serve men and women through his healing ability. And he's still the healer today. And there's somebody here today, and you're dealing with carpal tunnel. And I believe a word came for you this week that you're going to be healed today. So receive that today. Amen. He's still the healer. Somebody struggling, weak in the ankles, you're going to feel the surge of his healing power just come through you. I don't know how God does this stuff. All I know is my response is to be a little child, like faith, to say, my dad can do anything. Nothing's too hard for him. And I just believe, I believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. And I believe if you will join your childlike faith with mine, that God is going to do some miraculous things. He already is. We're seeing many wonderful healings and miracles here in our church body. And I believe that that's going to spark a beautiful move of God and a revival for us. And we're just anticipating that. And Barry Perez is coming, and God really uses him in that way. But that's why Jesus came. He came to serve. He came to save us from our sins. The only catch is that there was only one way that he could save men and women from their sins. He had to die in our place after living a completely sinless life. Jesus being born in Bethlehem was the next phase in the mission of God to save men and women from their sins. And with the birth of Jesus, it was not the beginning of the mission. I hope you know that. The mission had been set in motion from eternity past. I mean, as far back as you could think in your mind, go back eons and eons and eons and millions and billions and trillions of what we would call years, and God was there with this plan all along. This plan to save us from our sins. This plan that God would become one of us, both fully God and fully man, truly God, truly man. He was going to live a sinless life. And the purpose of entering into the world was not to end the Roman army's occupation of Israel and then at that time to sit on the throne of David. The purpose of him coming into our world was to allow the Roman army to put him on a cross and crucify him, so that 3 days after that, he could come back to life, rise from the dead, leave the empty tomb behind as a symbol that he had accomplished his mission of saving everybody in the world who wants to be saved. That's our God. That's what he did. That's what he came through with. That's what he accomplished through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, where the body of Jesus was given up to death and the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out. Our sins have been forgiven. Aren't you glad? Aren't you just so grateful for that today? Just ask him for forgiveness. When he went to the cross, that's what Gabriel meant when he told the shepherds, the Savior today is born for you. He was born for you. Would you say that with me? He's born for me. Say it. He was born for me. Amazing. I've always felt this way. If you were the only person left on the planet, he still would have come and died for you. You're that valuable. You're that special to God. It's amazing how our God is. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his rising again on the third day and asks Jesus to save them from their sins, that person will be saved. Jesus will become your personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen against your will, but if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and ask him to save you, then you will be saved. Okay, let's review real quick. Can we do that? Can you guys throw up that PowerPoint? Is the computer working that much to be able to move over to? Can you move over to that little PowerPoint I had? I can't see you guys, but I'll take that as a no. No? Just shake your head. I'm looking right at you now. Oh, it's working? It's trying? It's trying to move over? Ah, technology does whatever it wants. All right, so let's just review real quick, and then we'll be done. Let's talk about the shepherds. We assume they were stinky, smelly, and non-sociable. Didn't get close to any of these today, but I would assume. No, I don't think any of these shepherds we had today were stinky and smelly. But you know, you can just imagine those guys constantly out there in those fields. So we don't know. I'm just assuming that they were. But there are some things we know. Their job was really looked down upon. You know, we knew that back when Joseph told his brothers to tell Pharaoh that they were shepherds because the Egyptians really looked down. So we know it was a job others looked down on. So just, I'm going to go real quick through these guys. Just keep it going. We know that it was a great training ground for future warrior kings because David, as he was out there taking on those bears and lions, he was getting a lot of training to be a warrior and to be a king. And one thing we know for sure, that shepherds were not afraid of lions or tigers or bears. Oh my. Thank you. And they gathered their flocks together at night for greater protection, and they were not afraid of anything except angels. Okay, let's talk about the angels. Probably not smelly. Extremely intimidating. Holiness radiates out from them. And men feel their own sinfulness and lack of holiness in the presence of angels. And one more thing, angels are messengers. And this was the greatest message ever. I've told you the story before about my angelic encounter, but I want to tell you again. I was praying for something to happen. I really needed it to happen. I was out, and I needed a sign from God. Just needed to know. I needed Him to answer me. I needed something tangible. And so I'm out in a field for hours, and I'm praying, and I'm asking God. And so I just ended up like this. Lord, just show me an angel. Let me just see an angel. And so I don't really know how long I was there, but I'm just looking up in the sky, and way, way up in the sky, I see this tiny little flame of fire. And I went, that's good enough, thank you. I'll take that. And it wasn't until a couple of years later, I'm reading in the book of Psalms, and it says, God's angels are messengers that come like flames of fire. And I thought, wow. I really did see an angel. It wasn't just a satellite burning out up there. It was an angel. And God answered my prayer, and it was just a beautiful, wonderful thing. But angels are messengers, and this was the greatest message ever. Now, let's talk about Jesus as we close. He is definitely the Messiah. And pray for the Jewish people. Man, He was born to be their king, and they don't even know it. In Israel today, there's no Christmas trees. There's no ornaments. There's nothing really going on about Christmas, although they do pick up on the theme a little bit in Bethlehem there. But they're celebrating Hanukkah. And Jesus, His footprints, just like our grandchildren. You have grandchildren, their fingerprints are all over your house. The footprints and the fingerprint of Jesus is all over Israel, and they don't see Him, but He's their Messiah, the one they've been waiting for so long. He's born to be the King of the Jewish people. He's born to be the Savior of the entire world. He was absolutely, please, you have to grasp this. Somehow, in your finite mind, He was both God and man who will rule for all eternity with God His Father. That's why He had to be born of a virgin. He couldn't have His beginning like you and I in our mother's womb because He had been around for eternity past. He was born into poverty, not privilege. That's amazing, isn't it? He came to serve, not to be served. And He was born to die, to save us from our sins. That's why they brought the myrrh. The myrrh is what they buried Him with. They rubbed those ointments into the dead body. And that happened for Jesus. I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes today. Father, we just ask in the powerful name of Jesus that every one of us that are here today will have that childlike wonder, that we won't miss it with all of the peculiar ways that we could miss out.